Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We welcome you into the Steve Jones Show, Tuesday, April 24th on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sean Carey here, Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Look for us on social media, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, our Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. And we're online at stevejonesshow.com. You can subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. Send our new episodes straight to your smartphone and tablet once they're done, live on WKOK. You subscribe by going to either Google Play or the Apple Podcast app or iTunes and search Steve Jones Show. And we always have 3 months of shows archived on our website at stevejonesshow.com. Our email, by the way, stevejones@wkok.com. Drop us a line anytime. Maybe you saw Blue White over the weekend. Got some questions for the voice of Penn State football? Send them our way. The more the merrier. And by the way, speaking of the more the merrier, the more that can join us next week at the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, for sure the merrier. We're 8 days away. It's 1 week from tomorrow, May the 2nd, Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCAs. Milton and Sunbury will have more info on the tournament next half hour. Adam Purdy is going to join us at 3:35. Now, by the way, there is also another chance you can support the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA if you're not able to attend the golf tournament. But if you still want to support the Y, and if you love Penn State football, we invite you to Penn's Tavern, south of Sunbury on Route 147, next Tuesday night on May the 1st. There's going to be a special Penn State evening lined up at Penn's Tavern. Any Penn State fan, any big-time college football fan, you're encouraged to stop by. And asking for a donation, $10 if you can, light appetizers for those who can be there, and some Penn State greats will be on hand as well. Wally Richardson, Keith Conlon, Trey Bauer, and Tim Sweeney, a former Penn State football alumni president, all scheduled to be on hand next Tuesday night. And we caught word earlier today that a Penn State logo football to be signed by the letterman that'll be on hand next Tuesday night will be included in a silent auction, so you can bid high, bid often, and the football will be awarded next Tuesday night. So again, that's at Penn's Tavern as part of the big Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament event. Golf tournament itself next Wednesday. Be doing our show live from the club on the patio. Looking forward to it very much. And still time for you to lock in your foursome at 570-286-5636. So we're with you live till 5. Then we'll have our late day news roundup. Sarah Benick at the anchor desk this afternoon. And then we'll have Phillies baseball for you tonight on WKOK. Phillies coming off the day off and a 4-game sweep of the Pirates. 6:30 tonight will be on deck, first pitch 7:05 as the Arizona Diamondbacks come into town for the first of a 3-game set. Robbie Ray, 2-0 for Arizona, has pitched very well. 3.24 ERA. Now, each of his last two starts have come against San Francisco. But this time around facing the Phillies, he has faced them 4 times in his career and has an ERA of about 4.5. Vince Velasquez tonight will keep that winning streak going for the Phillies, see if they can make it 5 straight. Vince is 1-2. His last outing was solid, 7 strikeouts, 3 earned runs given up, and that was last Wednesday night in the 7-3 loss to the Braves. Velasquez has thrown 6 or more innings in his last 3 starts. He only accomplished that 3 times in the entire 2017 season. So we'll have Phillies baseball for you tonight. So we mentioned Adam Purdy coming up in the next half hour. And we are a little over 48 hours away from the 2018 NFL Draft from Jerry World. The burning question remains for Penn State football fans, where's Saquon Barkley going to go? Will the Giants take him at number two? And we will have Matt Lombardo, New York Giants writer for the Star Ledger and NJ.com. He'll be joining us to wrap up the show this afternoon live at 4:35 here on WKOK. All right, so there is no hockey tonight, but there is a Game 7 left. There's only one game left in the first round. It's in the East. Game 7 tomorrow night between Toronto and Kevin Jones' very own Boston Bruins. They are tied at 3 apiece. Toronto getting the big win last night on home ice to force a Game 7. So no hockey tonight. You'll have to wait for that game tomorrow night. But tonight we do have quite a bit of NBA action. We'll see if the Philadelphia 76ers can wrap up their series against Miami, as they'll be back home holding a 3-1 lead. Milwaukee, Boston tonight. And then your late game on TNT at 10:30. Back end of their doubleheader will be the Spurs and Golden State.
Yeah, and hopefully Derrick Rose instead of Reggie Rose plays tonight. They kept calling him Reggie Rose all night. Reggie's his brother. Did you know that? That was bizarre. Oh, well. Neil Kulwong today. Talk with him. And looking forward to it. We're getting close to the draft, right? Please, end this thing now. If you could end this thing now, it'd be great. I've done so many draft shows. I did one in Cleveland last night.
Was Tim Couch? Was Tim Couch brought up?
No.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Well, the point I made to them on the show was this. I said, look, I said the quarterbacks in this draft, in terms of similarity, I'm not saying that they are these people, but in terms of similar skill sets, remind you of the 2003 draft, where in the 2003 draft you had Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger. Okay. Well, if you're drafting at one and you're the Browns, okay, at four, if you're doing the same year, you get Barkley at one, and you would get no worse than either Manning, Rivers, or Roethlisberger, because those were the top three quarterbacks in that draft, and they were all pretty close. Well, as far as I'm concerned, that's what this draft is. I'm not saying any one of these guys is Manning, Rivers, or Roethlisberger. But in terms of how close they are on the skill set range, they are. I don't know. You have a generational player sitting there, and you're going to pass him up so you can get one of the hodgepodge of quarterbacks? Okay. The worst you're going to get out of it, the worst quarterback that you will get out of it, if you go Barkley one and then pick a quarterback four, the worst you'll get is either Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen. That's the worst you'll get. And there's nobody out there where you sit back and go, whoa. Can't miss guy.
I'm just curious which team, now that it's a quarterback-driven league, Steve, I'm just curious which team is going to make a snap judgments and move up when they shouldn't have and take a quarterback that's not going to pan out. Just for that reason that really none off the six have multiple skill sets that jump off the page that make them stand out from the rest of the crowd.
No question about that. I mean, I understand that. But those are the three. And these guys make mistakes all the time. All the time. Believe me, on the college level, you make mistakes. Tom O'Brien, I'd rather have Mike Lennon than Russell Wilson. Excuse me?
What?
You're going to bypass the guy with 102 career touchdown passes for Mike Lennon? Really? So Wilson ends up transferring to Wisconsin. So look, decisions like that are made at all levels. But you mentioned Tim Couch. I mean, there are a bunch of them on the line. The Cincinnati Bengals selected Keely Smith. I remember when they picked him, I was like, what? What is not taken into account, in my opinion, enough of, and I know it's a different game. Believe me, I'm well aware it's a different game. And I talk about that all the time, why certain quarterbacks, for example, will not translate in the NFL. Just won't. Right? Because it's a different game. It's a different game, different league, different way of playing, different athlete you're playing against. The game has to be won in the NFL, for the most part, from the pocket. It's the way it is. Okay. But watch them play games. How do you play the game? I know it's a different level. Carson Wentz played against FCS competition. Huh? But if you watch him play the game, you're looking at the dude can play. Right? The dude can play. Tampa Bay had to select between Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. Now that we've seen them each in the league, did it really matter which one they picked? I think if Tampa Bay had Marcus Mariota, they'd be pretty happy. I think if Tennessee had Jameis Winston, I think they'd be happy. You're just trying to stay away from the big mistake. The biggest roll of the dice in the quarterbacks, there's two of them. It's Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Now, they both bring X-factor elements to the table. Allen, gigantic arm. Accuracy of the suit. In fact, I did tell somebody about the straightest drive thing today. True, incredible laughs. I may have embellished. No, actually, I didn't. And Lamar Jackson, right, who really does want to work from the pocket. You can tell he wants to be a good quarterback. He wants to work from the pocket. But he does bring the X factor element that, hey, look, when he moves, he moves. Hard to catch. See, I always felt Robert Griffin III wanted to play from the pocket and only ran when he had to. In his rookie year, he was spectacular. But again, then he got hit, and the one thing I was worried about with him was how frail he was. I mean, that's the part that always struck me about him, and they came back to get him. And when he lost the mobility part of it, then he didn't have enough pocket presence to compensate for.
Yeah,
it.
I keep forgetting to text our former broadcast colleague Sarah Bartlett out in San Diego if she has pre-ordered her RG3 Ravens jersey. But yeah, back in 2012, you had Andrew Luck, RG3, Ryan Tannehill, and lest we forget, Brandon Whedon.
Right, here's the difference. Hey, in 2012, okay, and I'm doing the show in 2012. Remember? Because remember, I really touted the Redskins drafting Kirk Cousins. Remember that in the fourth round?
Mm-hmm.
I said, to me, they were smart to pick the guy because I like Kirk Cousins.
Well, the final day of the draft, I think that I don't really think there's much of an argument. That was the biggest pick of that entire day.
Right. So now, but going into that draft, to me, there was no debate. You pick Andrew Luck. Like, no debate. Not even, I mean, I'm talking like around the table, we're taking Andrew Luck, we're done. Because Tannehill's a converted wide receiver, so I'm not enamored. To me, between the difference between Tannehill and Robert Griffin III on that day, there's no doubt I take Robert Griffin III. But there's no way in the planet I pick Robert Griffin III over Andrew Luck. And I made the statement going into the draft the entire time that there's no doubt. And he was the first overall pick in the draft, and he should have been the first overall pick in the draft. Now, Luck's had obviously had his injuries. He has not been to a Super Bowl. He's been to AFC Championship games where there was chicanery with footballs. But he was still the right guy to pick. Who is the right guy with this group of quarterbacks? Who? Hey, the surefire guys in this draft going in, barring injury, are Saquon Barkley, Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame, Minkah Fitzpatrick from Alabama. To me, those are the four surefire guys. Fitzpatrick, to me, is the next Ed Reed, the next Troy Polamalu, the next Tyrann Mathieu. That's what he is, that kind of player. Now, whether he gets to their level, we'll see. But that's the kind of player he is. Quentin Nelson, everybody tells you he's got all the tools. Chubb is an edge rusher, the best edge rusher in the draft. Premium in that position in the league. Man, you got to go for the franchise guy. You got to. You can't just sit there and mess around. If the Browns did not have a pick at four, then I would say draft a quarterback. But because they've got the pick at four, the worst they're going to get is either Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen. That's the worst they're going to get.
I got a laugh earlier. I was, you know, cruising the net during my lunch break, and I saw not one but multiple websites with NFL rumor, Cleveland contemplating taking Baker Mayfield as the overall number one pick. And it's like, I got a laugh out of that. I mean, that's the first time out of all the draft talk I've heard since, you know, after the college football season wrapped up, that's the first time I've heard that. Baker Mayfield overall number one?
Look, why not? Look, let me give you one stat that's a really great Baker Mayfield stat. In pass plays of better than 20 yards downfield, 52%. That's really good. Really good. And if you take out drops, it's 60%. All right, Adam Purdy today, Neil Coulong, Matt Lombardo, Giants beat writer. By the time I'm done with him, even he'll pick Barkley. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Adam Schefter reports that the Browns are definitely considering drafting Baker Mayfield the number one. I'm sure they're definitely considering a lot of things. Brother. That's a no news, no offense, but that's a no news tweet. It means nothing. Wow. Yeah. I got a subscription to The Athletic because all those writers at Fox and all those writers at ESPN, in other words, the people have a lot of chops. I mean, like significant chops are all writing there now. Okay, let's get to this day sports history. Then Adam Purdy, 1961, Sandy Koufax struck out 18 batters, becoming the first major league pitcher to do so on two different occasions. 1963, the Celtics won their fifth straight NBA title, five out of eight in a row. David Robinson, last day of the regular season where scoring goes wild, had 71 to win the scoring title. Playing for the San Antonio Spurs, they beat the L.A. Clippers. A lot of people back then beat the L.A. Clippers. A lot of people scored over 50 against the Clippers. That's why people told me one time, why do you think Larry Brown's a great coach? I said, he got the Clippers to the playoffs. All right, let's bring in Adam Purdy, because next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, just 8 days away, the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. It's going to have a little different twist this year because there'll be several Penn State lettermen in attendance, including a meet and greet at Penn's Tavern a week from tonight. Adam, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the time today.
How are the preparations going for the tournament 8 days out?
Going well, actually. We are, I'd say, close to capacity with the number of teams we have. We're, I think, around 44 teams between the morning and afternoon flights, which is somewhere a little above average for us, which is good. Hopefully it'll yield a good return for the Y again this year.
Yeah, it should, as a matter of fact. If you had to put another team or two in, would you want them in the morning or the afternoon based on how you're set up?
At this point, the morning would be good because I think we have 32 maybe in the afternoon, which 35 is probably the max, but it gets pretty slow moving if you're up at that number. So any additional teams, we'd probably try to push into the morning if we could.
Everybody's always trying to come up with different ideas to improve whatever it happens to be. What opened the door to get some of the Penn State lettermen to come there and be a part of the tournament? And then we'll talk about the meet and greet in a moment.
Yeah, well, so Tom Mertz, good friend of ours, he sits on our tournament committee, has some contacts with some of the guys that are coming down, and he just reached out to them, asked them if they'd be interested in coming down and helping support the event. And one thing led to another, and, you know, here we are. We have, I think there's five of the lettermen confirmed and possibly a sixth. They're going to come down, play in the afternoon flight, and hopefully spend a little time with you on the air here and there. But then Tuesday night before the tournament, they're going to be down at Penn's Tavern and doing a meet and greet so that, you know, folks that don't golf or are unable to maybe attend the golf event can come down and have a little bit of a draw to get people to come out. And if you're going to help support the Y by coming down, meeting these guys and getting an autograph or getting a picture. And I think we're looking at possibly getting an autographed football that we're going to auction off on a silent auction kind of thing to help generate some more funds for the Y.
Yeah, it's terrific. And that's going to be at Penn's Tavern next Tuesday night. But I recall how it's going to work is there'll be a nominal fee to be in there, but and there'll be hors d'oeuvres served along the way as well. And it'll be just a fun meet and greet out in the patio and in the restaurant itself.
Yeah, exactly. So, yep, he's been kind enough to put some food out for folks. And then, you know, it's going to be kind of I'm not sure exactly if it's a pass out kind of thing or if you just, you know, come in, if you have a couple dollars you can spare to put toward the cause. And then, like I said, having the component of auctioning off the football, anything we can do to try to help generate some more money here for the Y.
And that's going to be next Tuesday night for everybody so that you understand. That will be at Penn's Tavern. Then the tournament itself will be at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club coming up on Wednesday. Our team Correct. Will be in the morning flight, and that will include the suit. So just as a public service announcement from this station, the Ad Council, and Homeland Security. All right, so...
Hey, Adam made it perfectly clear to me a couple of weeks ago he would love to join us. You're trying to pull some strings to hang with me in the golf cart, aren't you?
You're certainly welcome to ride along with me. I'm going to be playing with some folks from the Chubb Insurance Company so they can keep an eye on you, Steve, and make sure you're not doing anything that you shouldn't be. And Sean can ride with me, and we can do a little heckling back and forth in the morning.
That sounds great. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
What's the personal gratification? Now, look, you know, this is named after your grandfather.
Right.
Purdy Insurance has the reputation it has because he got that reputation going, and then to your credit and to your family's credit, you've then taken that and enhanced it. What does it mean this particular day, honoring him, helping the community?
Right. No, it means a lot to me personally, just, you know, honoring my grandfather, who was, you know, very well known in the community, did a lot to help support our local community, and was a, you know, real integral part of, you know, what our business is today and putting us on the map, so to speak, from that standpoint. And it's just, you know, it's nice to be able to carry that forward and do things and still, you know, 27 years later, be able to raise a good chunk of money for the YMCA, which is an organization that he devoted a lot of his time to be able to continue to give money back to that organization and have so many people come out this long after, you know, his passing, and still come out and honor his name and be as generous as they have been. You know, it's a great thing to be involved.
Once again, if they want to get involved in the tournament at this late date, not only as a team, but also maybe as a whole sponsor, a tee sponsor, something along the way, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can call into the Y. They can ask for Bonnie Wassmer. She's the executive director there, and her number is 570-286-5636. Or they can always call my office, 570-286-5855. And we'd be happy to take, you know, any contribution anybody's willing to offer. But like you said, the whole signage is nice. For $200, you get your hole in a sign that's going to be viewed by over, I think we have, you know, close to 180 golfers throughout the day. So pretty good, you know, pretty good value on getting your name out there with a lot of local business folks and getting some, you know, getting good advertising.
Well, this is one of the truly great community events where everybody comes together to help for a cause. Goes in two stages. Penn's Tavern, Penn State football meet and greet with five, maybe even six lettermen coming up on Tuesday night at 5:45, all at Penn's Tavern. Penn State logo football to be signed by the letterman and included on the silent auction to be bid on and awarded on as well. And then the tournament itself on Wednesday with a morning flight and an afternoon flight. Adam, as always, thanks so much. We are really looking forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Thanks.
Thanks. Yep, look forward to seeing you. Take care.
Adam Purdy. And the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament is coming up. The meet and greet with the players, the former Penn State players, a week from tonight at Penn's Tavern. Then the tournament itself is a week from tomorrow. And something I shouldn't be doing? Excuse me, I'm not the one that knocks golf balls off of bridges.
Okay? I'm surprised to hear that.
Something I shouldn't be doing? Okay, I'm not the one that's hit the bridge 2 years in a row. Oh, my goodness. I had an issue.
Yeah, you did.
Well, no. I mean, he's the only guy that when he tees off, like, we stand 50 feet back, people ask why. Yeah. All right. Well, message from this station, the Ad Council, and Homeland Security. All right. So we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Lombardo later in the show today. Neil Coulong next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. One thing, we talk about the top of the draft, first round, who should pick what, where, why in the first round. It's a seven-round draft. Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. Le'Veon Bell was a second-round pick. Where was Antonio Brown picked? Was Antonio Brown third or fourth round?
Lower than that.
No, loser. Antonio Brown's the best receiver in the league. Le'Veon Bell's the best running back in the league. All right? Were they first-round picks? No. Best quarterback? Tom Brady. First-round pick? No. Now, there are a lot of really, really good players in the NFL that are first-round picks, no doubt, but it's a seven-round draft. Like, they take more, I think, obviously it's interesting. They've done a better job in recent years of speeding up the picks, which helps. But, you know, I've taken a little bit more over the years, a little interest in the second and third round. I feel there's such value. You're talking about 64 picks on one night. In those 64 picks, you got some really good football players there. I mean, look at all the guys in the Hall of Fame about what round they were drafted in. My goodness. I mean, Kurt Warner made the Hall of Fame. He wasn't even drafted. So, and it's just the ability to somehow translate from one level to the next. You know, yeah, obviously, I'm working with Jack. I mean, Jack was a second-round pick by the Steelers. And he played the same way in the pro level as he did on the college level. And so it translated over. But to me, that would take a long, hard look. I think that I almost feel like they spend so much time looking at metrics and things like that, which are valuable. There's no doubt. For example, somebody asked me, why is, for example, hand size important for quarterbacks? Well, believe it or not, part of it is if you have smaller hands, you can't grip the ball. And if you can't grip the ball, there's a greater tendency to fumble. That's why. Okay, I got that. Sometimes you have to explain that to people as to why why that's important. So, I mean, the metrics and the combine and the 40-yard dashes and things like that, yeah, those are all important. And, of course, everybody will always bring up, for good reason, the Mike Mamula example about a guy that combined out of his mind and was not a football player. At least on the NFL level. I remember Bill O'Brien saying to me years ago, he says, he's jumping from high school to college is such a huge leap, he says, but going from college to the NFL, he says, yeah, I mean, you're jumping a canyon to get there. That's why the guys that can do it right away and quickly, and they don't have time to wait for you. That league does not have time to sit there and like, well, you know, we'll hang with him for 3 years. He'll develop. Nah, they don't wait that long. And I give them credit, you know, the guys that can jump in right away and play right away. But look at the Hall of Fame guys. You know, how many Hall of Fame guys are first overall picks? How many Hall of Fame guys are in the first round? They're all over the place. Everybody develops their own pace. What's the current class we have? Let's see, the current class. For the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Remember, Jerry Kramer obviously was one, right? Let's see, who else do we have? Jerry Kramer, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Kramer was not a first. Bobby Beathard, Robert Brazil. Robert Brazil was a first-round pick, sixth overall. Okay. So there's a first-round pick, sixth overall in this year's draft, or in his draft. Brian Dawkins. From the Philadelphia Eagles. Brian Dawkins was a second-round pick, 61st overall. Okay. Next up is, let's see, Jerry Kramer. Of course, this goes way back, so he's going to be way down. He's a fourth-round pick in 1958. So we got one first-round pick, a second, and a fourth. Ray Lewis was a first-round pick. We know that. Ray Lewis was taken in the first round, but 26 overall, back end of the draft. Has two first-rounders. Randy Moss was a first-rounder. Randy Moss, first-round pick, 21st overall. Okay. Terrell Owens? No. Terrell Owens was a third-round pick, 69th overall. And then you've got Brian Urlacher. Urlacher was a first-round pick. Remember, Urlacher, though, was a safety when he came out of New Mexico. He's not a linebacker. He was the ninth overall pick, first overall. So you do have four first-round picks in this year's NFL Draft Hall of Fame class. There are 318 members in that class. So in this particular class, you've got first round, second round, fourth round, first round, first round, first round, third round. And it's all over the place. There are four first-rounders, though, there. So, I mean, let's give credit where credit's due. But there are 32 first-round picks. All 32 make the Hall of Fame? No. Of course not. And I mean, that's what it is. You just don't know where you find it. Hey, people talk about the mistakes. I mean, did you see the piece on the Raiders? Like the players picked right back of the Raiders picks that happened several years in a row? Yay, yay, yay. Talk about missing. There was a like 5-6 years in a row where the guy picked after the Raiders pick was really good. Well, obviously Jamarcus Russell being first overall. Do you know who the second overall pick was behind Jamarcus Russell that year? Okay. Johnson, who went to the Detroit Lions. Whoops, Megatron. Larry Fitzgerald was the next pick right after the one the Raiders made another year. They have like all these Hall of Fame receivers, like, or guys that are eventually going to be in the Hall of Fame. And they missed and missed and missed and missed and missed. So you could talk about the Browns all you want. The Raiders. Let's look at your team, the Steelers here. Right? And their Hall of Fame history. You look at their Hall of Fame history. Yeah, obviously. Mel Blount wasn't a first round pick. Jack wasn't a first round pick. Stallworth wasn't a first round pick. Oh wait, they have a piece here on the Hall of Fame entitled Dobra Shunka. I work with Dobra Shunka. They had a celebrity roast for a charity cause, and Chuck Noll got up to speak about Jack. You know what he said? And this is the only thing that Noll said in the speech. The only thing. One sentence. How do you roast someone who is perfect? That was it.
Very rare that you heard Chuck Noll say perfect to describe another player, whether it's on his team or anyone else in the league he's faced.
Well, I how was that a thing where they wanted me to roast Jack? I got up there and I said, well, this is supposed to be a roast. I said, I just don't know what to roast them about. I don't. You just don't. Yes.
I mean, you can't even rip on the type of wine that he drinks. I mean, you can't even do that.
Well, actually, to be honest with you, no, I actually will say to him when we go to dinner, I say, okay, what's the choice here? Because I trust what he's going to.
Sure.
Do it. Oh, yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. So, I mean, Hall of Fame, getting to the Hall of Fame, having a great career, winning Super Bowls, things like that. Yeah, I go back to the quarterback thing. Again, the 2003 draft is Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Philip Rivers. Manning's won 2 Super Bowl championships. Roethlisberger's won 2 Super Bowl championships. Rivers has not, but Rivers has had a really, really good career. To me, that's this draft. If Eli Manning is a Pittsburgh Steeler, I'm telling you, they win 2 Super Bowl championships. If Roethlisberger is a New York Giant, the Giants win 2 Super Bowl championships. Now, do I think Roethlisberger is better than Eli Manning? Yeah, I do. But he's not that much better. That's my point about I would draft Barkley first. Because at 3, my choice now is between Manning, Rivers, and Roethlisberger. I mean, am I really going to fail by which one I pick there? Neil Coulong next half hour. We'll talk with him, and then we'll talk to Matt Lombardo, who's a New York Giants beat writer from NJ.com.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.